sendofamerica12.com.
Some say debates are healthy, even productive, kind of a form of quarreling. The quarrelers often, though, are so attached to their own egos that they lose all sense of compassion and perspective. Being right is more important than being a caring human being. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. What am I relating that to? I'm relating it to the situation in Tucson, Arizona. Here's the latest, and here's where we start this hour of ATN, unfortunately. On the Hill, it's the perfect thing to hang their hat on, those who would shut down free speech. Congressman Robert Brady from Pennsylvania says he wants to introduce a bill to make it a crime to threaten or incite violence against a federal official. Well, already you could get into trouble with that one. Just ask the guy who tried to threaten Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco. Also, Congresswoman Louise Slaughter out of New York, these are both Democrats, by the way, suggested the Federal Communications Commission was, quotes, not working anymore, saying that she would look at ways to better police language on the airwaves. Pay attention to what I just said. Police language on the airwaves. Oh, that's a dangerous step. Of course, a brick was thrown through a window of Slaughter's office last year. And specifically, she points to Sarah Palin and the gun sites targeting Democrats in last year's election, and also Sharon Engel, who, as you know, was running for Senate in Nevada, talking about Second Amendment remedies that might be needed to stop the Democratic agenda. You know where I stand on this one? And I always invite everyone, left of left, right of right, to participate in our overnight highway, the conversation, the water cooler buzz of the day. You know that. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous to say things like, let's police language on the airwaves. Let's homogenize the airwaves. I've said this before. If you don't like what you hear, that's the beauty of living in the greatest place you could possibly live, the United States, because you can turn it off. You don't like Howard Stern? Well, he went to XM Sirius, so you'd have to be a subscriber anyway. You tune it out. You don't have to listen. And to think that Jared Lee Loeffner was controlled by some of the things that he might have heard, by all accounts, the kid who didn't even have a job just floated from a Quiznos to some other paying job, low-paying job, lived with his family where it was very tense and had problems, by all accounts, since he was a kid, doubtful that he was glued to any kind of talk radio. In fact, 22-year-old Jared Lee Loeffner's family, of course, is being staked out. If you go to americatonight.net, you'll see a picture of some of the photographers who I'm sure their editor said, stay there until something is said. So finally they did say something. They released a statement because the curiosity factor, of course, is off the charts. And the statement was, there are no words that can possibly express how we feel. They also said, we care very deeply about the victims and their families. We are so very sorry for their loss. So the FBI and everybody and their brother is trying to piece together more about his personality to try to answer the question we might never know the answer to. Why? Why? Well, because he was a loner. He had anger issues. He was mentally unbalanced. He had an unhappy relationship or tense relationship with his parents, who I'm not blaming them because apparently they tried to do what they could, but he had a rough relationship with them, and he had a rough relationship with most of the people in his life. He jumped from job to job. He couldn't get along with coworkers. In fact, here's what a couple of classmates had to say.
This guy, you know, is not complying, unfortunately, and seems to be quite a threat to our class.
He would laugh to himself randomly, and sometimes it would be at inappropriate times. Other times it would just be silent writing time, and he would just laugh.
So this was Loeffner from the time he was in middle school and into this community college where he was physically removed. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, we're going to talk with Tucson attorney Leonard Sheff, who is a friend of Congressman Gabby Giffords and also knew the murdered federal judge John Roll. Coincidentally, he's written a book that's starting to get a lot of buzz about overcoming anger. So we'll pick his brain on this tragedy and get his reaction to it. Obviously, Tucson has become ground zero now for this debate, and the debate is all over the spectrum. I think debates are, to have a debate is excellent. I think to point the finger and to blame, and now that's really, really starting to happen a lot. I don't get it, because I don't think you can pin it on Sarah Palin. You can't say, oh, Sarah Palin had some gun sights. She played up her love of guns, and you know this, and shooting moose in Alaska from the time she stepped on the national scene. Not like I'm the great defender of Sarah Palin. I'm just saying, give me a break. And I think that it gives too much power or credit in a bizarre way to Sarah Palin, and it makes no sense to me whatsoever. So now, of course, there's also a new push for the fairness doctrine, which I would hate to see come back. I would hate to see that. You know what I like about local radio stations right now? We're on a network, and some of our great affiliates across the country, you do fabulous jobs with public service announcements, with public service programs. Those are great. If a radio station becomes vanilla, the opinion, in other words, is sucked out. Forget the ratings. Forget radio. And the same thing with television. Because on television, with any of the cable shows anyway, even the ABCs and the NBCs, look and listen to the opinions. For goodness sake, look at MSNBC with Chris Matthews, who's now squarely blaming Mark Levin, Michael Savage, to name a few, as possible reasons for the Arizona shooting because of some of the things they might have said on their show that would be able to incite, because there's just this new thing. We need to police the language because we could be inciting the people across America. I mean, now I'll play. You might think that some of the language is incendiary and can actually make people do things, almost like brainwashing from the airwaves. If you do think this, please call and become part of the mix here during this show. 800-259-5791. When I was a kid, I listened to all kinds of radio in Philly and in New York. I can tell you that none of the DJs or none of the talkers ever made me want to do anything crazy. And I listened to a couple that were pretty crazy on the morning zoos with some of the stuff that they would suggest, let's say. All right, coming up next, you don't want to miss it. We're going to talk with Len Sheff, who knew Gabby Giffords. Hang with us.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Detailed at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
I'm Roger Rao at Midas Resources. If you are going through a financial roller coaster because of your investment in stocks, bonds, and other paper assets, perhaps you're ready for a change. You have an opportunity to change your financial security. Get the stability and peace of mind you deserve by investing in precious metals. Gold and silver have been a form of wealth protection for over 5,000 years all over the world. If you have seen your hard-earned money lose value because of inflation, sliding dollar, etc., it's time you stop the bleeding. The answer to your problems is simple. Gold and silver will protect your assets and your purchasing power, physical possession of precious metals, IRA rollover, etc. Call me, Roger Rao, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Take action today when we are still accepting paper dollars for gold and silver. Ready for a change? Call Roger Rao at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Again, it's 1-800-686-2237, extension 178.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Tucson attorney Leonard Sheff certainly feels the tragedy of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. She was a friend. In fact, Sheff represented her father and grandfather in their family business at one point in his career. I think he's on to something, though, when he talks about transforming anger. How much have we talked about that on America Tonight? In his book, The Cow in the Parking Lot, A Zen Guide to Overcoming Anger, something that I think a lot of people should check out, and I hope they do. He joins us now. Pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much, Len, for coming on.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
First, I would be remiss not to ask you this, but the good news is Congresswoman Giffords, now her doctors are saying 101% chance that she's recovering from this, so that's great news. But initially, your reaction when you heard that this had happened over the weekend?
Well, like any terrible event like this, there's sort of a disbelief. And, of course, the first news was that she was dead. Mm. And then, you know, after that, the wave of good news is that she was still functioning and so on. And it was a roller coaster.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's very depressing, of course. All the other people that were shot, I knew John Roll. When he was on the Court of Appeals, I appeared before him, and, you know, having a 9-year-old girl be killed for absolutely no reason, it's pretty devastating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you're in Tucson, and you certainly know the people well from having a business and being, you know, an attorney there and whatnot. And can you feel that in the city? Can you feel that people are saying, wow, why here? This is awful. Do you get that sense?
Yeah, there's a shockwave still reverberating through the city.
Yeah. So tell us about, first of all, because the title is so unique, I want to just dive right into the title. I know people listening to us now are scratching their heads. What does that mean? The Cow in the Parking Lot, like I said, A Zen Guide to Overcoming Anger. What a unique title. Will you explain the title for the folks listening?
Well, it's sort of what we call a Zen parable that I made up for the book. You're at a new shopping center on the edge of town, and it's opening day, and they're giving away a lot of stuff, so half the town is there. You've been looking for a parking space for 10 minutes, and finally, there it is. The backup lights come on, and you stop, turn your turn signal on, and the car backs out toward you. And as it does, a Jeep shoots in from the other direction into the parking space. And when you honk, the young man driving the car gets out and smirks at you. Are you angry? And the answer for almost everyone is yes. And, you know, they'd like to key his car, let the air out of his tires. Now we're going to change the facts ever so slightly. And the backup lights come on, the car backs up toward you. And from the other direction, a cow walks into the spot and settles down. And when you honk, the cow looks up and moves. Are you angry? And the answer for almost everyone is no. And the question then is, what is the difference? And we spend a lot of time in the book convincing you that there is no difference. You still have to find another space, and it's a lot easier to do it if you're not living in the anger of the young man's smirk. So the question always is present is, what benefit do you get from being angry?
Yeah. And the answer is really none. You get no benefit from being
angry.
None
or worse.
Yeah.
Being angry is a liability. The Dalai Lama said that anger is a destructive emotion.
Yeah.
That's basic in Buddhism.
Do you think in looking, and everyone's trying to figure this out, of course, and put the pieces together, but the 22-year-old, Jared Lee Loughner, was he, we know that he had mental issues, that's clear, because of the definitely the things that have come out, the pieces of the puzzle. And again, like I said, it's very early, and you know this, Len, they're trying to still piece together a profile. How much did anger, do you believe, play a part in what happened?
Well, he's obviously an angry human being from having read a lot of his stuff from the Internet and so on that's been on the air, believing that the government is invading his mind and so on. But he's, you know, so far beyond simply the issue of anger. Obviously, he was a person that was susceptible to acting out his anger, and that's when anger becomes really destructive, is when you act it out.
Yeah, certainly. Why is it so important, the root of all this, to know what that angry button is, what it is that angers you and I, ourselves, and other people? Why is that so important?
Well, in the book, we posit the proposition, which may not be entirely accurate, but anger is a result of an unmet demand. And in the case of the cow in the parking lot, your unmet demand is that the young man play with the same rules of civility. And when your demand isn't met, then your brain sends out the anger waves. And sometimes our demand is utterly silly, like if someone pulls in front of you and you give them the honk the horn and they give you the finger, what your demand is that you get respect from an absolute stranger.
Yeah.
And that's sort of funny.
Oh, yeah, it is sort of funny. You mentioned the Dalai Lama, and it's interesting. Apparently, you had the chance to, I don't know if it was meet or listen to the teachings of the Dalai Lama maybe 15 years ago or so. And is it true that you said to yourself, oh, that's, he's crazy. I mean, this whole Buddhist thing, if he thinks I'm giving up anger. Was that your reaction initially?
Indeed, sitting there in the pain of a three-day teaching and with him going, speaking in Tibetan and then having to wait for the translator, it was all very uncomfortable. And I thought, he's a very nice man, but if he thinks I'm giving up anger, he's crazy.
And you, in fact, I'm speaking for you, and we'll let you espouse more on this, but you have given up anger, haven't you?
Largely, everyone gets angry sometimes. The Dalai Lama during that teaching got angry, visibly angry. But the trick is there's a great deal less anger in my life, and I know not to act on it.
Yeah.
And so anger is no longer an effective force in my life.
Yeah. Is there, what would you recommend? There's people listening to us, and it's like you said, I mean, we're all human, and people can have flashes of anger, even if they really try to be calm about the person flipping them off or backing up in the parking lot or any of that sort of stuff. What, in putting your book together and what you've learned, especially as a trial lawyer, what's the single most important thing that you would say to people that they should focus on or keep in their mind when they're angry?
Well, the basic proposition, I think, is what benefit do I get from being angry? And we make the point that the first person injured by your anger is you. Anger doesn't feel good, even though there's a rush that comes with it. And it can damage your health. And perhaps the worst in terms of political discourse and whatnot is when you're acting out of anger, you're likely to act irrationally and even stupidly. And it blocks achieving what you want to do because it shuts down your intelligence.
Yeah. Do you hope you and I spoke off the air and you were excited? You were telling me how now your book is being translated into other languages. What is it that you hope will happen with your book? Do you hope more people will get it, will absorb it, and maybe take those steps toward evaporating some of the unnecessary anger in their life?
Well, that would certainly be absolutely magnificent. I don't know to what extent I can influence that. It is difficult to overcome anger because if you're 40 years old, you've been doing anger for 38 years. You know, it's hard to overcome it. But, yes, I would hope that. I wrote the book with the hopes that it might be helpful. I started on the book about 5 years ago and only recently got it published. And if you look at a lot of the feedback that we've gotten, a lot of people have said it's changed their lives.
Yeah.
Which is a little scary because, you know, this stuff has been out there. I didn't make any of this up, really.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And including, isn't it true that Congresswoman Giffords, you had heard through somebody through the grapevine that she liked your book or had read your book?
No, I gave the book to her in person, and then I, meeting with her at another political function, I asked her if she'd had a chance to read it. And she said, yeah, it's really good, and I hope a lot of people read it.
Wow. Boy, so do I. What an interesting conversation. Leonard Sheff, the book is called The Cow in the Parking Lot, His End Guide to Overcoming Anger. Thank you so much for joining us.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mr. B could use a man like Glenn Miller over again.
Does this sound familiar to anybody out there listening to us? Well, if you know anything at all about All in the Family, then you know that tune. Of course, that was the opening song, the theme to All in the Family. And if you go to TV Land, you'll see that, you can see it over and over again. They've got episodes of All in the Family. It's interesting because we've had this discussion on America Tonight, how Archie Bunker today would be called every name in the book. But that show was hilarious. The crazy, nutty things that would come out of his mouth that would just make you fall down and laugh. I can remember my grandfather just sitting there in tears when he would watch All in the Family, and he was watching reruns at the time. So we're going to talk about that and some other fascinating tales from Hollywood with our pal, as we do each and every week, Stephen Shohet. You know him, you love this guy. He's got a great book out that holds up forever and a day because the stories are so great, Hollywood stories, and it's just filled with entertaining, incredible nuggets about the legends, the stars, the people in the movies, people that you know today and people that you know from yesteryears. Stephen, thanks as always for popping on America Tonight.
Thanks as always for having me, Kate.
All right, All in the Family, there is a significance to talking about that. Why?
40 years today, at least on the East Coast. January 12th, 1971 is when it premiered. And, of course, I don't know if it completely changed television, but it was certainly a big change for television at the time. It actually had been in development for a while. There was a British TV show created by a man named Johnny Sprate called Till Us Death Do Part. And they had this lead character named Alf, who was a conservative and said some racist things, and he had a lot of the same elements. The son-in-law living at home, you know, with a socialistic point of view, the wife, I mean, a lot of the similar things, although there were some things a little bit different. But Norman Lear read about it, and he said, boy, this reminds me of my family. And in Norman Lear's case, his father used to call him Meathead, because they had different ideas, and used to tell his wife to stifle all the time. So Norman Lear decided to incorporate those elements, and eventually he did give credit to the British TV show, but he said that it was a lot of autobiographical stuff, and it was also a lot of autobiographical stuff for Carol O'Connor. You know, one thing that's kind of interesting, Kate, Jean Stapleton, when people used to say to her, hey, Edith, you know, she would politely correct them all the time. But Carol O'Connor would sometimes introduce himself as Archie Bunker. He was really into that part.
Oh, yeah. Did you think that Norman Lear realized? I mean, it certainly, as you just mentioned, there was personal reasons why I can imagine he was thrilled to pieces that how well it did. But do you think they knew they had this runaway hit on their hands when they first broke for production?
Absolutely not. It had been turned down twice by ABC, too controversial. There were casting situations. At one time, Norman Lear wanted Mickey Rooney to do the role, and Mickey Rooney found the character so off-putting, the character of Archie Bunker, he was originally called Archie Justice, and then they decided, you know, he tries to sort of lock himself in his home away from the rest of the world, so he has a bunker mentality. Mickey Rooney said, no, let's do something about a Vietnam veteran who's blind with a seeing eye dog, and instead, and that ended that relationship. And then Carol O'Connor came in and sort of put his own stamp on the character, that he should be from Queens, and Carol O'Connor came up with a lot of malaprops, but they were expecting this big reaction, but it came on as a mid-season replacement, and it didn't get good ratings for several months. Two things happened: the summer reruns, and there was the Emmy Awards had the four characters, Archie, Mike, Gloria, and Edith, introduce the show in character. The four actors came out in character, and that's when a lot of people saw them for the first time, and then the show really started to pick up steam.
Yeah, do you think you could have a show like that isn't on Showtime or HBO today on one of your major networks and get away with some of the things that Archie Bunker said and did?
Well, you'd have to tone it down. I mean, you know, they use the N-word and things like that. So, I think it, you know, unfortunately, there seems to be less freedom as far as content goes, not more freedom. One of the things that also happened, when they started to become big stars, they were making the show next to, at CBS Television, right near the farmer's market. And every day they would go over there and eat, but they got to be that they were so recognized that it was impossible to go out there without getting huge attention, except for Rob Reiner, who at that time wore a hairpiece. He'd just take the hairpiece off, and no problem. He'd go out there, and he could eat away, and nobody would come up to him. But I don't think, getting back to your original point, that the show would be very welcome today.
Oh, boy, I so agree with you. But sometime we'll have to talk about that, the politics of the back and forth, especially when it comes to scripts and whatnot. Rob Reiner, that really launched him. Of course, he had a famous father, Carl Reiner. Then he goes on to just fantastic things, not just acting, but really directing and pulling together some incredible projects. But that was his first big gig, wasn't it?
Yeah, the way the show worked was they would film it twice and twice in front of a live audience. And really, Rob Reiner and Carol O'Connor were doing a lot of the writing. I mean, you know, unlike their two characters, they got along famously. They probably had the closest relationship of anybody on the show. And Rob Reiner was constantly looking at the show as a director. He said it might have hurt his acting a little bit because because he was always looking at, you know, where the cameras were placed and technical, you know, the technical specifications and things like that. And so, you know, it really helped him prepare for the career that he really wanted to get into, which was directing. And Carol O'Connor helped him and encouraged him quite a bit. You know, they remained great friends the whole time. In fact, one of the things that Rob Reiner said was that Carol O'Connor was actually far more liberal in real life than he was, even though Carol O'Connor often used the character of Archie Bunker to deal with things in his personal life. So, you know, it was just kind of interesting how different Carol O'Connor was politically from the character, and yet how much he seemed to identify and love the character and throw himself into it.
Yeah. All in the Family, how long did it run before it was finally done?
Well, it ran for 8 years, and then they had the sequel, Archie Bunker's Place, mm-hmm. which Norman Lear wanted nothing to do with, and that ran for 4 years. So, and of course, they had a lot of developments on the show, like Sally Struthers wanted to get into the movies, and she and Rob Reiner eventually ended up leaving. Gene Stapleton ended up leaving, and then they wanted Archie to date, and so they decided to kill off the character of Edith, a lot of people who worked on that show actually said that the real key to the show was Jean Stapleton, that you know, she acted like a dingbat, but she actually could put Archie in his place all the time. And so she was a really big loss, and the show lasted 3 years after her. But the problem was that after she left, the network really didn't like the Archie Bunker's Place spinoff. The people who worked there, they just missed the chemistry a lot, even though Carol O'Connor would have... who knows how many years he would have gone on if he would have had the choice.
Yeah, no kidding. What's happened to the main characters? Because we know some have died, but what's happened to some of the other characters?
Well, you mean the characters or the actors?
Yeah, the actors.
Yeah, well, you know, it seems like they're real people, so you can talk about the characters, too. Well, Gene Stapleton and Sally Struthers still work in theater. You know, both of them made deals where they didn't get any percentage of the show. So they pretty much had to keep working. I mean, you know, Jean Stapleton, she said that was her one regret. You know, they bought out her residual rights, and she said if she had to do it over again, she wouldn't have done that. There was a falling out between Carol O'Connor and Sally Struthers. Carol O'Connor developed a show called Gloria, and the writers were replaced on the show without his approval, and Carol O'Connor felt that even though he had no proof of it, that Sally Struthers knew about it, and the show didn't last very long, but they never really talked again after that time, although Sally Struthers, I think, still cared for him and went to his funeral. And she, you know, Sally Struthers has become good friends with Mike Gallagher, you know, the talk show host, and people are wondering if she's turned into a conservative. She said praiseworthy things about Palin.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I was stunned, too, by that. You see, people can change. That's what happens.
Yeah, well, you know, they were all pretty politically active. I mean, Gene Stapleton said, you know, I was never an activist until I got on that show and met a bunch of activists.
Yeah, no kidding. Stephen Shohead, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Hollywood Stories, we say it all the time. It's just great. We love when we get to sit and chat with you each and every week, so... Once again, you have a fabulous rest of your week, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. And the book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and the website is hollywoodstories.com.
Great. We'll talk to you next week, Stephen.
You got it.
We move from Hollywood and what is make-believe to what is very, very real. All the conversation about hate speech on radio, that's what Senator Sherrod Brown says. And there are others who think we should police what is said on the airwaves. What do you think, America? We're going to talk about it on the flip side. Stay with us.
New year, new way to smoke, and it's Totally Wicked.
Introducing Totally Wicked e-liquid electronic cigarettes, the highest quality e-cigarettes in the world. With Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes, there's no flame, no secondhand smoke, no carbon monoxide, no tar, no unsightly brown teeth or fingers,
and no lingering smell.
Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes have a battery charge that lasts up to 8 hours. Plus, with a Totally Wicked Tornado model, the average pack-a-day smoker is likely to save over $1,000 a year. The Totally Wicked Tornado provides a storm of vapor. See it at totallywicked-eliquid.com. That's totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. Get a 15% discount with promo code GCNLIVE. Go to totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. That's 888-761-9425. Or online at totallywicked-eliquid.com. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes.
The next generation of alternative smoking.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Shake me down. Not a lot of people left around. Who knows now? Softly laying on the ground. Not a lot of people left around.
A talk show host, I don't know, or a politician or a speaker, Sarah Palin, who gets ridiculous amounts of money to speak. Sarah Palin, the woman who burst on the scene a couple of years ago on the McCain ticket, getting credit in a bizarre way for this shooting in Tucson, Arizona, or Mark Levin, the talk show host who's nationally syndicated out of New York, Chris Matthews, says he's complicit in this. And Sherrod Brown talking about hate speech on the radio, and a slew of others who are now saying, politicians and certain people on cable television talk shows, saying that enough is enough. The language, the rhetoric has to stop. If the violent rhetoric didn't cause this shooting, it's going to cause the next one. And even, and I thought this was a joke, but I double checked on it. I saw it on, I think, Drudge or Huffington Post or somewhere, that in Rhode Island, the governor is banning state employees from speaking on talk radio. So once I saw that headline, I thought, well, I'm going to call and see if somebody will talk on the show. And sure enough, they have been ordered, a gag order, not to talk to anybody in talk radio. The newspaper there, the Providence Journal, I think it is, broke the story, actually, saying that, you know, don't go on talk radio, and that's, you just don't do it. Don't spend your time working and not being on the radio. But part of that, to be fair, is because the former governor of Rhode Island was a huge talk radio fan, and he was on the radio a lot, talking to the various shows and talking about what was going on in the state and what they were doing as far as taxpayers and raising funds and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But the current governor is saying that doesn't flow with him. He doesn't want that to be part of what they do as far as communications is concerned. So there's a lot of rhetoric, if you will, over speech and over what's happening on the airwaves as a result of Tucson, Arizona. I can tell you this, there is absolutely zero evidence, anything that I've seen, anybody I've talked to, that shows that this mentally unstable nincompoop idiot, Jared Loughner, was at all politically motivated. At all. That politics had anything to do with this. It just does not fly. This is not the case. And trying to come up with curbs on speech and policing what's being said is very dangerous, my friends. I don't want to live in China. I mean, I fear one day I'll wake up and there'll be some Chinese soldiers in my house telling me it's time to do what they say. But that time has not come. What do you say? 800-259-5791. Let's go to Tomas in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Hey, Kate, did you see this murderer's YouTube?
I did.
And it's really interesting because everybody who says this guy is such a crazy, a low life, are actually agreeing with him by talking about the same things that he said was wrong with society.
Yeah.
He said the problem is that language and that grammar is controlled by the government, something like that. And
yeah.
Guess what the lefties are trying to do now? They're trying, just like you said, to control our speech because they say that what we say causes people to go kill other people, all right? And
it's ridiculous.
That's exactly what he had on his YouTube, almost. So I'm wondering what happened to all these people when they came out with that movie about the assassination of George Bush while he was president. Remember that movie?
Yes. Why was that allowed? That was a dangerous thing to be out there because then it was suggesting that some nutball could be incited to kill the president.
That's right. And
yeah.
And, you know, and I even Drudge had on his website there when Obama said, if they bring a knife, we'll bring a gun.
Yeah.
And,
he did say that. So is it the president's fault if somebody did that? I mean, yeah, you got to be – I mean, let's be real here. We live in America, free speech. You know, granted,
right.
it's and Tomas, you know this. If there's something you don't like, you can – it's free will, baby. You can tune it out.
Or you can sue them.
That's right. That's
you know?
Right. Yes.
Or you sue them. Or, and another thing, you know, when I was growing up, just a few miles from my house, I'd say maybe 25 minutes from my house, they almost killed George Wallace. You know, the guy went right up to him, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Filled his stomach full of, I think it was 9 millimeters. And he walked over to some station wagon there, and you know, tough old Alabama boy. But people weren't saying, "Oh my God, the guns!" or "Oh my God, the hate speech!" You know, what they were saying, "There's any where was his guard?" That's what they were saying. In those days,
yeah.
You know, when you had the common sense to understand you cannot prevent a knucklehead from going crazy. You can't do that because, you know, somebody's hate speech is somebody else's free speech. And heck, I bet you that if they allow people to put people in jail, there'd be people knocking on your door tomorrow morning because there's people out there consider you a racist, consider
right.
you a gun and Bible girl from, you know, Texas.
Right.
Little do they know that you're so jealous of Sarah Palin that you can't stand her. But,
that's right. Read between the lines. Or listen between the lines. Yes.
You know what? Hey, why don't you bring like a prosecutor on your show? Because you know what? The prosecutor who prosecutes this crazy guy is going to be asking him. Guess what? He's going to be asking him, did you listen to Sarah Palin? Right? He's going, or did you listen to Left Wing? Did you listen to Tom Hartman? Well, you know, it's going to be very interesting because we're acting like the guy's dead. He's not dead. He's going to be issuing some statements. His lawyer is going to be issuing some statements. And that's going to be the real battle right there, is drawing from those words, you know, who's
if he does it, because now he won't do it. He won't. He won't self-incriminate himself, and he lawyered up immediately, so that's not happening yet. But will we, that's what I said in the beginning, will we get the why? Tomas, thanks. Some interesting points there in what we're talking about. I mean, here's what you got to realize. It's like Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow do what they say on the air, or Ed Schultz is probably a better example, and he's progressive, and he has every right to go after ratings and to be on the airwaves just as anybody else does in talk radio or in cable television news, because really it comes down to ratings or affiliates, and that's what matters, and that's what keeps people on the air usually in most circumstances. So are any of those people less inflammatory, let's say, than a Rush Limbaugh or a Mark Levin? That's what you have to ask yourself. It's opinion-based, and we like opinion-based, don't we? And there is the bottom line is, there is no evidence at all whatsoever that Loeffner ever even listened to talk radio. I would highly doubt it, let alone was charged into action because of some influence by talk radio, let's say. I don't think so. I doubt it. You're not going to be able to make that connection to Loeffner and the airwaves. I don't think so. Instigating someone to do something like the heinous thing that he did, it's really pushing it, folks. It really is. You might agree, you might disagree, or have some other thoughts you want to throw into the mix. You can shoot them to me at americatonight.net.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I appreciate your understanding. Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself. Thank you. Don't mention it.